Hi, good afternoon, everyone. All right, so I am going to talk with you today about a health needs assessment that our project team and our community partners conducted in the African American faith-based community. And so this project is really part of a larger initiative. It's an R24-funded National Institutes of Minority Health and Health Disparities Award that's really focused on using a CBPR approach to develop a multi-level health intervention in African American churches. So before I proceed, and they will probably tackle me after the session if I don't do this, but I want to acknowledge my colleagues and co-authors on this project. I also need to state that I have no financial relationships to disclose. And I also want to take time out to acknowledge the 11 churches that were really vital to this project. Without the support of these churches, these pastors, their church leaders, and all of the members who took time out of their Sunday morning services and Wednesday evening Bible studies to complete these needs assessment surveys, we would not be able to do this work without them. And also just to recognize our academic partners, UMKC, Community Health Research Group, Children's Mercy Hospital, and our phenomenal community partner, Calvary Community Outreach Network. All right. So again, like I alluded to before, this needs assessment was part of a larger project that's really focused on developing a multi-level health intervention in African American churches. What was really unique and novel, but also at times terrifying about this funding mechanism is when we started this work, we had no idea what this health disparity issue would be. And this is a really, really novel approach because we actually heard from the community. They identify what health disparity issue was most important for this project to address. And so through every phase of this project, all of our community partners, our research team, everybody came together and we were all equitably involved in this project. So this is, and let me just say this, this is a scary and novel project, but then it's also rewarding. So we are currently in phase one of a phase three project. So the phase one project is really focused on administering the needs assessment to find out what the health disparity priority issue should be that we focus on. And then there's also a phase two, which is a large-scale implementation, which is an R01 funded grant. And then there's finally a phase three, which is a dissemination grant. So this project has the potential to span 11 years. So we're just in year two of what we hope to be an 11-year project. So the specific ends of this project were really to have a significant impact on a health disparity that's affecting African Americans in the Kansas City metropolitan area. And really to find out what that health disparity is, we wanted to conduct a needs assessment. We realized that in Kansas City, our population is very unique and very different. And so some of the health disparities affecting African Americans on a national level or in the southern region or on the east or west coast may not necessarily be relevant to African Americans in our city. So we really wanted to find out from them, okay, so what's really important to address? We also wanted to know what were some strategies that were not only important but also feasible to address the specific health disparity issue. And again, we're working in churches, so everything that we think from a public health perspective is really important and really novel and we should really do this. Sometimes we get like the red flag from the churches, like, no, we're not ready to charter this territory yet. And then also what's really important, too, is throughout this process, we worked extensively with our community action board. And really we wanted to assess the CBPR process through every phase of this project. So one of the things that we do is during our quarterly CAB meetings, we have a CAB evaluation form. So we want to hear back from the community members who serve on that CAB. Do they feel that their voices are being heard? Do they feel that they've been provided capacity building opportunities to really effectively engage in not only this research project but other research projects in the future? So our CAB, again, we call them the Community Action Board because they don't advise. Well, they do, but they roll up their sleeves and they get down and dirty and in the trenches with us. And so we have a very vocal group of 40 men and women who are really diverse. Many of them are members or pastors from some of the faith-based organizations that we partner with. Some are representatives from health service organizations. Others are church leaders or academic partners. So we have about 40 men and women, and they have been instrumental in every phase of this project, from naming the initiative, naming the intervention, deciding, you know, what the health disparity issue would be, and also what some of the strategies should be to address this issue. So these are just a couple of pictures of our action board hard at work. We have engaged, you know, 40 partners overall. Many of these are people that we've had existing relationships from other research projects, but a lot of these too are also new relationships. These are people who were invited to one or two meetings and they kept coming, because it wasn't like an advisory board where we just sat and planned some more. But we actually got busy. We started carving out what this project could look like. We started developing the needs assessment process. And then I think, too, is our CAB really realized that their voices are heard, that their input was meaningful, and that we weren't the experts. They were. That's why they were in the room. So this graph just gives an overview of the entire needs assessment process, and I'll talk about each of these steps in great detail as we move along. So the first step was identifying the potential health disparity issue. So of course, you know, as researchers, we did our due diligence in perusing the CDC for national data. We also looked at the data from our local health departments and really kind of figuring out what were some of those health disparities that were bubbling up at the top affecting African Americans. And this is just a small sample of what we found. So asthma, obesity, sort of your usual characters, diabetes, hypertension, HIV. So we took some of these health disparity issues and we presented it to our CAB. We wanted to get their feedback on what they thought the priority issue should be. And so what we found from our CAB, so we asked them to actually rank their top three health disparity priority issues. So during a CAB meeting, they got up, had their markers in hand, went to the whiteboards, and they were jotting down what they thought was most important. So 79% rated diabetes within their top three health disparity issues, followed by heart disease, stroke, homicide. What was surprising to us at first, because it doesn't get talked a lot about, was mental health. We had several CAB members who really thought, you know what, mental health is an underlying factor for homicide and a lot of other health disparities, so this is something that we should focus on. Others mentioned STDs and HIV, and then finally 18% ranked asthma in their top three. All right, so the second step that we did is. So now that we've gotten feedback on what the health disparity priority issues are, we wanted to develop these draft planning pages. And on these planning pages, we really wanted to get an idea of what were some of the strategies that our CAB members felt were not only important but feasible to implement to address these specific health disparity issues. So because we have a really diverse CAB, some are healthcare experts, some are church members who just are really interested and really passionate about health issues, we wanted to make sure that everybody on the CAB came with a basic set of skills, so that we wanted to provide education and capacity building opportunities. So we all knew what the appropriate definition of asthma was, or we all knew what heart disease and, you know, blood glucose, because sometimes we have a different way of referring to things. And so we provided that basic description. We also provided data on how African Americans are disproportionately affected by that disease. And then we also provided information about risk factors. So, for example, being overweight was a risk factor for high blood pressure as well as diabetes. Then we also added a section with multi-level strategies to address health disparity issues. Now, first, our research team developed a few basic strategies that had been empirically validated. One of the reasons we did that is we didn't want to hand our CAB a blank sheet of paper and just say start writing stuff. We wanted to give some guidance, but then we also wanted their input on whether or not they thought these strategies were important or feasible. And of course, our CAB is they're not ones to mince their words. So if we had strategies on there that they didn't think would work, they told us. We said, okay, fine, you just scratch that one out and you tell us what should be there instead. One strategy in particular was with HIV and STDs. of course, in public health, we would all talk about condoms, but not so much in the church setting. So for some pastors and some church members, that's not going to fly. So it's like, okay, well, we won't talk about that one. Some of the other strategies included healthy cooking classes or to reduce diabetes or hosting health seminars. The other thing that we wanted to do was really find out what were some of the resources and supports and infrastructures that already existed in the community that were either addressing this issue already or were interested in addressing it. What we found a lot of times what happens is a lot of times public health work is done in our silos. And so our neighbor, you know, 5 miles away might be doing the exact same thing, but we don't know about it. And so we miss those opportunities to partner. So we really wanted to know, who else should we bring to the table? Who else could be a potential partner? So after we developed these strategies, and I'll tell you, it was a pretty extensive process. Our community advisory board came up with several hundred strategies for all of the health disparity priority issues. And so then we, at a subsequent meeting, we wanted to organize our 40 CAB members into distinct planning groups. So we had them actually just self-select whatever health disparity issue you were most interested in, and we wanted to have a smaller planning group to really facilitate a really rich and deep discussion about some of the strategies that could be implemented to address that group. And so using a socio-ecological model, we wanted to really address these health disparity issues sort of from different approaches. So the first one being an individual or interpersonal approach. So some of the strategies that spurred from that approach were some of our CAB members felt that, you know what, a lot of our churches have phone tree messaging systems that we use when the church is closed because of a snowstorm. Why don't we use those to send out health messages? Why don't we use Facebook or text messages to send out health messages? So those were some of the interpersonal examples. The other thing that we found is that most of our churches, most of the churches where you all are as well, probably have ministry groups that are already actively engaged around some health issue. Now, it may just be for a week or for a month, but, you know, for some of our churches, their women's group was already doing things around breast cancer awareness, or there was, you know, something else happening. So why don't we utilize the things that these groups are already doing to really facilitate messages about health within our church. So some of these things included hosting like a healthy cooking class in the women's ministry groups, hosting physical activity lessons or classes for our adolescents. So then this is the sort of the big bang here, is the church-wide example. So a lot of times when we think about health promotion in churches, a lot of times they're done sort of at a smaller group level. But our CAB started to really think about, so what can we do to really engage the entire congregation around health? And because we have some great pastors on our community action board, some of them thought, you know what, it'd be great if we could get pastors to deliver sermons about health. If they could incorporate messages about diabetes or HIV into their typical Sunday morning service, wouldn't that be great? And how about we make it easy for them by giving them a sermon guide that has a health message on it? Some of the other things included, you know, some CAB members reported, you know what, well, my church does a responsive reading. So what if we had, you know, one Sunday where our responsive reading was focused about a health disparity issue? And so that's a really, really great way to get hundreds, if not thousands, of people engaged around a single health disparity issue at once. And then finally, we had the larger community outreach. Many of the churches that we've partnered with, in addition to having their regular members who fill the pews on Sunday morning, they also have outreach ministries, which serve the community that may never attend their church. And so this might be hosting sports leagues. This might be having health seminars. In fact, one of our community partners, the church has a gym that's open to the public. So these would be great community resources to really engage not just the church but the larger African American community around health. So after we've, you know, gone ad nauseum over these more than 300 initial strategies, We wanted to finalize the needs assessment survey. And of course, we had 300, and we all think they were great strategies, but the idea of asking church folks to fill out a two-hour survey on a Sunday morning, we didn't think would go over so well. So we wanted to streamline our needs assessment survey, specifically streamlining the strategies to address the different health disparity issues. So one of the things that we heard loud and clear from our community advisory board is, you know what, in addition to health disparity priority issues and strategies, we want some other information from the community to really find out what some of the other needs are. So one thing that we included was demographic information. So of course your general ethnicity, age. We also wanted to know if people had health insurance. We wanted to know when was the last time you went to see a physician for an annual exam. We also wanted to know, have you ever been diagnosed with diabetes or are you currently taking medications for high blood pressure? And then we also wanted to get the community's response of the priority health disparity issues. We'd already heard from our CAB, but we wanted to know if the feedback that we would get from the community would be in line with what we received from our CAB. So we took the several hundred strategies and streamlined them to about 110, which by comparison seems like a little, but it's still a lot. And then, based on the feedback that we got from our community advisory board, we added two new strategies, because one of the things that kept coming up in these planning meetings was that, you know what, a lot of these health disparity issues relate to healthcare access. So that should be another category, because again, if you are at risk for diabetes but you don't have a primary care physician or you don't have insurance, of course that puts you at increased risk for a number of health issues. And then there was also a section that we added, and that was strategies to address health disparities during the church service. So again, what are those things that we can easily integrate into the normal functioning of a church to address health disparities? So we administered the needs assessment, and this was fun. So we surveyed 463 participants. And so we, and again, the list that I mentioned earlier of the 11 churches that we worked with, so we selected potential churches, and we began setting up meetings with pastors. And I will say this, one thing that really helped with this recruitment endeavor is that many of the individuals who serve on our CAB were members of the churches who participated in the needs assessment. And so, and that's really crucial, because when you have a member of the church who's already invested and passionate about what you're doing, and they go to their pastor and say, hey, pastor, you know what, I think we need to be involved in this, and I'm going to rally support, that really just kind of made the way for us. And then we also met with pastors and had one-on-one meetings individually to just give them an overview of the project, let them know what we were doing, answer any questions that they had. In addition to that, we attended church services. We attended Bible studies. We were at community events, and we were not strangers. And then also it helps, too, when you have a research team that looks like the population that you're working with. And the other thing that's a benefit as well is that many of us grew up in the area where we're doing work. So we've gone into a lot of churches where it's like, hey, I remember you when you were five. And so you already have that that camaraderie with the people that you're working with. So we also, in sort of facilitating this needs assessment process, began developing relationships with what we call church health liaisons. So these are the men and women in the church who are usually directors of the health ministries, or maybe it's a mother of the church who really thinks the church needs to start talking about health. And they really help organize everything from the day that we come in to collect the needs assessment data. They make sure there are tables set up, there's chairs, that even telling people, hey, you need to make sure you get downstairs to the fellowship hall and complete that survey. And we also had to, of course, schedule research staff and our graduate students to be there for the data collection as well. And so we administered this needs assessment before and after Sunday church services, and in some cases during Wednesday night Bible studies as well. Each survey took about 30 minutes for people to complete, which, you know, getting folks to stay after church, 30 minutes after it's dismissed, is not a small task. So one of the things that we did and that we always do is that we pay people for their time. And, you know, when you're doing community-based participatory research, the research team shouldn't be the only ones who are getting paid for the time that they're investing in the project. And so, of course, we realize that we're asking a lot. We want you to take out the time to complete the survey. So we could at least give you, of course, it's not as much as we would have liked, but we could at least give you $10 and you could buy lunch or get some gas in your car or whatever the case may be. We also collected data from 14 representatives from academic health service organizations, and during that time we served a free lunch. And finally, you know, after we collected all the data from our 11 churches and we analyzed all of the data, we wanted to share that data back with the community. One thing that we often hear is, we don't want to be your guinea pigs. We don't want you to come collect data, and then we never know what happens to it. So we hosted a community forum, and we invited all of the churches that have participated in the needs assessment survey to this community forum. And this forum, we had some of our local pastors. We had some of our leaders in public health who were in attendance, but then we also had a roundtable forum so community and church members could get together and really talk about some of the health issues that were important to them. And during this community forum, we shared the needs assessment report that really outlined everything that we found in the needs assessment survey. So it was just really a great way to feedback what they had fed us over the summer that we had surveyed them. And so I have a brief video that I'd like to share. Hopefully everything works out here in this room. And this is just So this is just an overview, just kind of a really small 3-minute sample of our community forum. So it also features one of our amazing community partners and just some of the work that they've done in this process. I hope you enjoy it, and I think we'll have time at the end for any questions if anyone has.
Maybe you've never been at anyone's bedside when they go through the sufferings. Maybe you ain't got no aunties or cousins or mom or dad who has had to suffer. And we tease sometimes and we say, we'll do the funeral, and then we go to the cemetery, then we come back to the church and we eat what killed the person we just buried. Anybody like macaroni and cheese? Anybody like greens with ham hocks? Anybody like fried? Beloved, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
As a physician, I have 480,000 patients, whether they know I'm their doctor or not. And I've got a 16-year difference in life expectancy for some of those patients living in some zip codes than in other zip codes.
So what we'd like to see is more sports leagues, more partnerships and collaborations with local churches and YMCA, an increase in health literacy, which means you take 2 pills a day, but what does that mean if you take it in the morning and the evening, or if you take them at the same time?
And another thing that we kind of talked about was teaching people small steps that they could do, whether it be, you know, just picking that one food that they're going to try to avoid or try to do more of, and just do that one thing for a month and little by little build on that, and also incorporating exercise into your daily life. Don't try to wait for the closest parking spot at the store. Park far away. You won't get dents in your car, too, if you park far away.
We also talked about being a role model. So one of our members has lost a significant amount of weight, and that encouraged her family members and showed them more about what's possible. So taking it down to the individual level and taking personal responsibility to demonstrate to people how to be healthier.
Well, I think people were energized and motivated and ready to do something, which was incredible. I mean, we've been here now for almost 2.5 hours, and people come in there and people participated, people talked at their tables about what strategies they think would be really important to do. And so that's really, really incredible to me, not just from the whiteboard and you're coming in a back room in a church to being here and see what's developed, and I'm a really good shot. The next question probably is being bid from this room is what's going to happen next. So we really have to be continue to be well organized and strategic so that we can really make things happen. Now we've done the groundwork, now we really need to be able to do something else.
And there was our website address, so if you have any questions or you want to see what that needs assessment survey looked like and some of the results that we found, feel free to go to visit our website. Thank you.